And Lord, we want to pray for Jim this morning. You have anointed him to bring the word this day. And we lift him before you, Lord, that you would be his tongue, you would be his breath, you would be his mind, and he would speak the word that you put into him, Lord, that it would be as if we were hearing from the Spirit of God. We commit him to you now this day in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Okay, Brother Jim.
All right. Amen. Praise God. I appreciated that verse that you added, Rita, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'd never heard that other verse about wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. I appreciated that verse. And I thought of that for us as we gathered, that when we gather, Jesus Christ is truly present in our midst. And he's here to bless us and to do us good. When we gather as two or three, now I'm talking specifically now, when Mark and Rita have their private time, Joanne and I have our private time, you have your private time with the Lord. It is true that where two or three are gathered, Jesus Christ is bodily present in the Spirit. It's just an absolute truth. You get down to seek the face of God, and I'm there. I'm bodily present in the Spirit, as well as I'm in you. And when we gather in this fashion, just because I can't reach out and shake your hand, you know, and we're not present in one another's company, doesn't mean that we're not gathered as the body of the Lord, and that Jesus Christ is present in our midst. He's present in our gatherings, whether the gathering be in the home, whether the gathering be on the Zoom like this, or in a building, wherever we gather, wherever two or three are gathered, assembled in my name, there I am in the midst. I am in you, and I am bodily present with you in the Spirit. And so when we are two or three, Jesus Christ meets with us right where we are. He meets with us. Not only is he in us, but he is with us. And one morning, Joanne and I were praying, and, you know, just our usual, we prayed, we read our devotions, we maybe sing a song or two, and then we have a time of prayer. But as we were praying, the Spirit of the Lord just manifested. I mean, the Spirit of God just came down. See his glory come down. See his glory come down. Well, his glory came down that morning, and the words that came out of my mouth as I was praying was, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day of healing. And it just came so strongly by the Spirit. And I began to look into some of the scriptures about Jubilee. Now, I think we've talked about that sometime. I don't know if I talked on the Zoom, but I've shared it someplace about the Jubilee. And I don't want to dwell specifically on the Jubilee in Leviticus 23, but I do want us to go there and to take a look at that in Leviticus 23. And just briefly look here. Leviticus 23, we start with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts, what? The feasts of the Lord. Not the feast of Israel, not the feast of the Jews, the feasts of the Lord. Now, if you back up, speak unto the children of Israel. Who are Israel? Who is Israel? Israel is the people of God. Israel is the people of God that live in the land of promise. Israel is the church. Israel is the remnant of God, the sons of God. So the people of God who have made covenant, whatever that covenant may be, the Jews have a covenant through Abraham. We have a covenant through Abraham, through Christ. And so the people of God are those who are made, who have made a covenant with God. And of course, we have made that covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. So speak unto the children of Israel, of which we are. So God is speaking to us. And say unto us, right here, concerning the feasts of the Lord, when you proclaim to be, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. And a convocation is a solemn assembly, a gathering. And so the feast of Jubilee, let's go over, we're going to move on from there, because we're going to go specifically to the time of Jubilee. So go two chapters forward. We're going to Leviticus 25. Okay. Yeah, this is where we want to be. Okay, so every 7 years was a Sabbath rest to the land. Okay, just like the seventh day was a Sabbath. And which speaks of, the seventh day speaks of the millennium, the 7,000 years. We have had six, you know, I wonder really how far along we are in that 6,000 years, because at the end of 6,000 years, we are going to cross over into that seventh day. And we know that there is going to be a 3.5 year tribulation period, which is our crossing over. But we are so very close, brethren, to crossing over into that seventh day. So on the seventh day was a Sabbath, the people should rest. Every seventh year was a rest to the land. And then and you take seven times seven, 49 years. So in that 50th year was the Jubilee. And that was a time of rest again to the land. And so we're going to address this a little bit. We don't want to spend a lot of time here. Okay. In Leviticus 25 and verse 8, and thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years, 49 years. And the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be even unto you 49 years. And thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound in the Day of Atonement, which ye shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Now, I want to go back to what I said about, we were praying, Joanne and I were praying one morning, and this came. And what I heard was the trumpet sound of God, the trump of God saying, this is a day, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day of healing. Now, before we pursue that thought, let's look a little bit about, and I know that you know this, but we're going to rehearse it. You know, every feast of the Lord, three times in a year, seven feasts. In the spring feast, Passover was the main feast of the Lord. But every time Israel gathered in those feasts, it was a rehearsal. A rehearsal. Passover was a rehearsal that when the Lamb of God would come and be the sacrifice, no longer the Lamb to be the natural Lamb, because Jesus Christ would. So it was a rehearsal. Pentecost was a rehearsal when the Spirit would be poured out on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. And Tabernacles is another rehearsal of when Jesus Christ will tabernacle himself fully, completely in his people. So these are all rehearsals that Israel did. And we know that two of those feasts, the spring feast and the 50th day, Pentecost, that feast has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ, but he is yet to tabernacle himself completely in his church and his people. So that feast, we are yet looking to be fulfilled by Jesus Christ. But let us look at a little bit about what happens on this Jubilee. And ye shall hallow, verse 10, we're in Leviticus 25, and you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land and all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. You shall return every man unto his possession. You shall return every man into his family. There shall be no slaves, no bond slaves. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. And you shall eat of the increase thereof of the field. And in the verse 13, in the year of this Jubilee, you shall return every man to his possession. If there was a debt against the land, the debt was forgiven. And, okay, in verse 14, and if thou shalt sell aught unto thy neighbor or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. Okay. And we're going to skip over to verse 23. We're in Leviticus 25 and verse 23. And the land shall not be sold forever. The land is mine. You know, consider that when the so-called peace deals, every time these wonderful presidents we've had in the past made these peace deals with Israel and their neighbors, they always gave away land for peace. And the Lord says, no, the land is mine. It shall not be sold. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For you were strangers and sojourners with me, and in all the land of your possession, you shall grant a redemption for the land. And every man's possession shall be returned unto him. The captives go free. The debts are forgiven. So keep that in mind, brethren. We are entering into a time where God is proclaiming the Jubilee for the people of God. Now, I want us to look at the fulfillment of this Jubilee, when there were times when God gave visitations, where God gave a measure of what this, because this is a grand Jubilee that is coming. This is the whole earth. Okay. The whole earth is in bondage now. It's in bondage. The whole, all that is happening with wars, rumors of wars, all of these wonderful men that want to have create this new world order that's going to be so good for us. It's all the oppression of the enemy upon this land called Earth, because when Jesus was up in the mount when the devil tempted him, he said, "Do you see all these kingdoms? They're all mine." Do you know what? They were. They are. All of the kingdoms in our wonderful government in Washington, D.C., don't think that it's any difference. There's no difference. All of the kingdoms that man has built, all of the governments, they belong to Satan. And yeah, we have some good things. I guarantee you, we have the best government in the world. And we would really like to keep it that way for a while. But when the whole earth now is in bondage, and Paul wrote and said, it's a groaning. There's a groaning coming. There's a groaning from mankind. There's a groaning from the very creation itself saying, I'm tired of this oppression. I'm tired of this bondage. And so we are getting very close to that time of Jubilee crossing over. Okay, so let us go to Isaiah chapter 61. Because what you're reading here, this is indeed a prophetic chapter. And what you're reading is a prophetic proclamation of a Jubilee. Okay. Isaiah 61. Did I say 61? Okay. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty. That word liberty means a jubilee, a time of setting the captives free. To proclaim a jubilee to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And we believe that even right now, in Jesus' name, for the persecuted church, my God, help our brethren that are being persecuted, those that are in prison, being martyred, those that are beaten and deprived of the very essentials of life. Lord God, help our brethren now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. To proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And we'll include verse 3 here. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. A time of beauty is going to come out of all of our sufferings. And for those that are suffering in the persecuted church, we say by the Spirit of God, hold on to Christ and do not deny his name. A jubilee is coming. A time of deliverance is coming in Jesus' name. Beauty for your ashes. An oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, I want us to go over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 is repeating Isaiah 61. Okay. So we pick it up in Luke 4 and verse 14. Let's pick up the storyline here in verse 14. Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness. He had fasted 40 days. And in verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now keep in mind, he's on the Sabbath day. Remember, that's a day of rest. And there are 7 days. On the seventh day's a rest. On the 49th year was a rest. Okay. And verse 17. Now there was delivered unto him, Jesus, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, of course, we know it was not really a book, it was a scroll, but he opened the book and he found the place where it was written. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at what? At liberty, at jubilee, them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What Jesus did was he proclaimed, he prophesied a jubilee to the church that was yet to be born. Remember now, The church is not yet born until the day of Pentecost. No one was born again. No one was filled with the Spirit until the day of Pentecost. Okay? But what he was prophesying, Jesus Christ was prophesying, was the church is going to be born. You are going to be born again of my Spirit. Receive my blood. Receive my life. And you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that is going to be the beginning. Listen to this, brethren. That is going to be the beginning of the trumpet sounding, that it is a jubilee to the people of God. And it is a rehearsal. The church, the early church, rehearsed what is coming to the last church, the last day's church. The last church is going to usher in the 1,000-year rest of God, which will be the jubilee of all jubilees. So what Jesus Christ is proclaiming here, now I'm going to say this, and I cannot back it up, okay? But I'm going to say that this was a jubilee year when Jesus Christ started his ministry. And I can't, I can't prove that, but I believe that it was the 49th year when Jesus started his ministry, and it was a time of jubilee, and he came and proclaimed this jubilee to the whole earth that was in bondage to Satan. He's saying, hold on. Pentecost is coming. You're going to be born again. You're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And you're going to go forth and you're going to proclaim. What are you going to proclaim? You're going to proclaim the gospel to the poor, verse 18. You're going to heal the brokenhearted. You're going to preach deliverance to the captives. Deliverance to the captives. You're going to recover the sight of the blind. You're going to set at liberty those that are bruised. Jesus Christ proclaimed a jubilee to the church, to the people of God. And now, I want us to go over to the book of Romans, chapter 8. We're going to Romans. Praise God. Romans 8. This letter that Paul wrote to the church, to the people of God, Paul was writing by the Spirit, and I believe that Paul, you know, as an apostle, an apostle is someone who is anointed of God, who can move in any of the five gifts, the apostle, the pointer finger, the prophet, the long reaching finger, the evangelist, ring finger, the marriage finger, the shepherd, and the little finger that makes the point, teaching finger. The apostle functions in all five of these ministries. That's why God called Paul and the others as apostles. They were to function and to encourage and to stir up these gifts in the church. I'm saying all that to say, Paul prophetically is speaking here. I'm going to put it out there. But I believe that Paul is prophetically speaking here. Okay. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Paul, listen to this, brethren. Paul was prophetically speaking exactly what Jesus spoke in Luke 4 when he stood up to read Isaiah. Look at this. Paul is proclaiming a jubilee, a liberty, a liberation to the church. He's saying you are no longer under the law of sin and death. Jesus Christ, by his blood, has made you free from the law of sin and death and given you the Spirit of life, the law. This is the law, brethren. The law of life. That's Jubilee. Amen. He said, so Jesus, and again, I'm saying it, Jesus came on a Jubilee year, and he came and read a prophetic word from Isaiah about a Jubilee, and Jesus proclaimed a Jubilee to the people of God who were in bondage. They were under the law of the Spirit of death. And Jesus came to proclaim. So really, what Paul prophetically speaking here is quoting Jesus Christ in Luke 4. He's saying the same thing. Yes, I agree with what Jesus Christ proclaimed. He proclaimed a time of jubilee, of liberty. And I'm telling you, the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to see this. I want you to look at it. Look at verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. That's a jubilee, brethren. That's a jubilee deliverance. Paul is telling us we no longer have to be under condemnation of the law of death. We are free. Paul is prophetically proclaiming to the church a jubilee, a deliverance. Okay, now I want you, again, we're speaking of Paul. Paul, I can't say enough about Apostle Paul. He was just head and shoulders above everyone of his time. And the man suffered. You know, all of the apostles suffered. All the disciples in the early church suffered. But I'm telling you, I don't know of any man other than Jesus Christ when he was the Son of Man that suffered more than Paul did. He paid a dear price. Appreciate, brethren, appreciate this word. It came as a great price to you. I hope we appreciate it. But I so love Paul and appreciate the man. So again, Galatians chapter 5, we're still in the writings of Paul, the apostle. Galatians chapter 5. Come on, let's go to Galatians here. Galatians chapter 5. And I'd like you to go down. Okay. Well, yeah, okay. Verse 16. We're in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul the apostle, writing to the church at Galatia. And this is what I say then. Walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But now remember, Paul is not only functioning in the gifting of the apostle, he is also functioning in the gift of the prophet. This is Paul prophesying, verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the condemnation of the law. The same thing that he spoke in Romans 8. He's proclaiming a jubilee, a liberty to the church. You do not have to be under condemnation to the law of the spirit of death. You are under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, before we move on, now these are the works of the flesh, which are manifest, verse 19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not, what? They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, let's go on. But in the same token, he says they're not going to inherit. But, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, what? There's no law. When we move by the Spirit, when we move in the liberty of the Spirit, we're not under the law of death. We're not under all that he described in verse 20 and 21. We're not under that law. We're not under that curse. Okay, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, you are not under the law. Paul is prophesying, proclaiming a jubilee, a liberty to your soul. Hear it, brethren. Receive it. Amen. Okay, verse 24. They that are Christ's, belonging to Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Walk in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Okay, where is that? It's here in Galatians. Stand fast in the liberty. Okay. Is it back at the okay, I'm sorry. It's back in the beginning of chapter 5 of Galatians. Galatians 5 and 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the what? Liberty. That's the Jubilee, brethren. Stand fast in the Jubilee. Jesus Christ came to proclaim a Jubilee to the people of God, to the church. Stand fast, therefore, in this Jubilee liberty where Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Amen. So what I'm saying to you, Jesus Christ came at a Jubilee, and he proclaimed a Jubilee. And now Paul is reminding the church of that Jubilee that Paul, that excuse me, that Jesus proclaimed when he came. So let's look at another Jubilee. Okay, let's go back to David. Look at Psalms chapter 69. Ooh, okay. Psalm 69. And I want you to go down to verse 12. Now, David, let me tell you something about David. There are two great men of the Bible that I absolutely admire. You know my admiration for Apostle Paul. But my other admiration is for David. David was a king, and he was also a prophet, and he also functioned in the role of a priest. He was the most anointed and blessed king Israel ever had, and one of the most blessed men that ever walked. Yeah, he had his faults, he had his weaknesses, but let's focus on what David did do and what David gave to us. Okay. Psalm 69, verse 12. They that sit in the gate speak against me, as I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercies, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire. Let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Hide not thy face from thy servant, for I'm in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh, verse 18, draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it and deliver me because of my enemies. David was crying out to God. He was in trouble. He said he's in trouble. Verse 17, he says, I'm in trouble. Are you ever in trouble? Maybe you're not like me, but I get myself in trouble quite often. Lord, I'm in trouble. He confessed it. And he said, draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. I need a kinsman redeemer. Jesus Christ was our kinsman redeemer, and he came to proclaim liberty to the captives, deliverance. And so here is David crying out before the Lord, saying, I need a kinsman to present my case. Amen. Amen. You know, Boaz became the kinsman redeemer for Ruth and Naomi. He stood in the place of a kinsman redeemer. And what did he proclaim? Okay, now look at the situation. Ruth and Naomi are in poverty. They have no means of support. I mean, a gleaner was like one of the lowest forms of life. That you had to go out and gather food that others left in the field and make something of it. They were living in poverty. Their land was in possession by another one who took possession of it. And what did Boaz do?
Right.
He became a kinsman redeemer, and he proclaimed a jubilee. It's exciting, brethren. They had no hope. What hope did Naomi and Ruth have? They had no hope. They were in poverty. Their land was possessed by someone else. And yet, Boaz stepped in, proclaimed a liberty, a jubilee. Hallelujah. I love it. And this is what this is what David was saying before the Lord. I'm in trouble. My soul's in trouble. I need a kinsman redeemer. Redeem me. Proclaim my jubilee. Hallelujah. Before we leave, David, go back one chapter, 68. Go down to verse 17, Psalm 68, verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. And the Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. David again is proclaiming a jubilee. There's a kinsman redeemer. David knew the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe David had a relationship with Jesus Christ in the Spirit, and he knew his Redeemer was coming and was going to proclaim a liberty to the people of God. One more. Psalm 47. Psalm 47. This is not a Psalm of David, by the way, but it is a prophetic psalm. Psalm 47, and there's only nine verses. We're going to read the whole psalm here. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph, joyful, rejoicing. For the Lord Most High is terrible. That means fearful. Yahweh, he's fearful. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our what? Our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of what? The trumpet sounding the year of Jubilee. Hallelujah. This is a prophetic psalm, brethren. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God, and he is greatly exalted. Verse 5, God is gone up with a shout, and the Lord with the sound of the trumpet, sounding a time of jubilee to the people of God. Okay, I want us to see the jubilee that John saw. Go to Revelation chapter 22. We're going to Revelation, the back of the book. I don't know that we're done, but we're going to the back of the book. Revelation 22, we'll start in the first verse. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and no need of the candle or the lamp, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. John here, remember now, the apostle is also a prophet. And John, in the prophetic role, was prophesying of that 1,000-year rest, the final jubilee to the people of God and to the earth itself. All creation would be set free. And he's proclaiming here, John saw it by the Spirit. Remember, John sat at Jesus' feet, and John prophetically knew this is the kinsman redeemer. This is the one that's proclaiming the jubilee. And John was present in the upper room when the Spirit was poured out and saw and witnessed the Jubilee coming to the people of God. And this is John prophesying to us of that final Jubilee, the 1,000-year rest of God. Go to, just for a minute, we're covering a lot of ground here, but go for a minute back to Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. And we're going to get right to the point here. Joshua chapter 6. Where do you want to start? Okay. Verse 16. Well, sorry, go back to 15. Joshua chapter 6, verse 15. And it came to pass on what? The seventh day. Amen. Let's move on. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day and come past the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they come past the city. The city seven times, and it came to pass at the seventh time that they marched around the city, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you this city. We're talking about Jericho. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that are with her. And of course, Rahab was Boaz's, either his mother, we can correct that. Rahab was either Boaz's mother or grandmother, but you can correct that. Rahab the harlot shall live. She and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And you, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, the law of the spirit of death, brethren. Remember, Paul said, stand fast in the liberty. Don't go back to the house of bondage. Keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and the vessels of the brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people, now listen to verse 20. The people shouted. Remember, we just read that psalm. In Psalm 47, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. And the people shouted when the priest blew with what? The trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. Amen. Why? They were going in to possess the land, possess their possession. The land was promised to Abraham. But the people of Israel ended up in bondage to Egypt. And now they're coming out with a great shout, with a great rejoicing. And they're sounding the trumpet. What are the trumpets sounding? The land has been in bondage to the Canaanites. We are proclaiming the Jubilee of the Lord. The promise given to Abraham is now going to be to come to fruition. It's going to come to pass. The people of God are going to possess their possession. And they sounded the trumpets, and the Jubilee was proclaimed. Now the people of God can enter into the land. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. We're getting near the end here, brethren. Revelation chapter 3. And I want you to go down to, well, verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I, this is Jesus Christ speaking. Behold, I, Jesus Christ, stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. In the seventh day of rest to the people of God, the seventh millennium, it will be a 1,000-year rest to the land, to the earth, to all creation. It'll be a 1,000-year rest to the people of God. But to the sons of God, I want you to take a look at this. To the sons of God, he's saying something here. To him that overcometh, who is he that overcometh? Who are the overcomers? The sons of God. So we're going to say here, to the sons of God, I'm granting you to sit with me in my throne. The sons of God. Okay, I don't know how to say this without getting in trouble here. The Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The sons of God will be incorporated into the Christ. This is what the understanding, definition of the fullness of the Christ is. When we receive the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, it is Christ in the Son. Okay. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, and Christ are all one. I'm sure we can agree. But that Christ, part of his nature, is what he planted in our soul that we're nurturing, that's growing up. And when that Christ comes to fruition, to maturity, that's the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. And now let's go very slowly over this. Christ is planted in your soul. But Christ is planted in my soul. That's what we call the body of Christ. Christ in a body. Christ is in you. Christ is in me. But Christ is in the body. And when the body comes to that maturity, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we will be incorporated into Christ in his throne. This is the proclamation. That is the fulfillment of the Jubilee of Jubilees. We are going to rule. Brethren, you will, okay. In, we won't go back there, but we read it. We read it in Revelation 22, that you're going to rule and reign with me. That's the fulfillment of the Jubilee, the Jubilee of Jubilees. I in you, you in me, incorporated into Christ, ruling and reigning with Christ on his throne. I'd like to stop here. And I want to go back to what we said at the beginning. That morning, when two or three were gathered before the Lord, it happened to be Joanne and I, Jesus Christ was in our midst, just like you, brother. Brother Emma, you and your wife, when you gather with the Lord, the Lord is in your midst. Brother Heidi, you and Lucy, when you gather together as one, Jesus Christ is in your midst. And that morning when we gathered, the Spirit of God came down. The glory came down. The Spirit of God came down. And out of our prayer, because I think somehow Joanne started the prayer, and out of my mouth came, today is the day of salvation. And I began to speak the names. Because remember, as a priest of our home, we come into the presence of God with the names, my sons, my daughter, my grandchildren, my family members. We come before the throne proclaiming, today is a day of salvation. Save now. Save them by your blood. And I'm telling you, the prayer was a prophetic prayer. We became each one because of the blood covenant. We became the kinsman redeemer for our sons and our daughters that are in bondage. What I'm proclaiming to you, brethren, today is the day of salvation. Today is a jubilee. Proclaim it. Believe it. Today is a day of deliverance. Believe it. These things that we struggled with for years, these ancestral endowments that came down from our forefathers, that hinder our walk, that hinder us, come into our mind, our thoughts. Today is a day of jubilee, deliverance, because not only am I a kinsman redeemer for my house, but Jesus Christ, my kinsman redeemer, has set me free from the law of sin and death and given me the law of the spirit of life. It's jubilee to our soul, brethren. Believe it. Receive it. When these spirits come to trouble you, say, my kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ, by his blood, has redeemed me and proclaimed a jubilee to my soul. Hallelujah. Today, one more thing the Lord said to me. Today is a day of salvation. And we began to prophetically pray for our children and our families. Today is a day of deliverance. We began to speak to those ites, those family ites, traditions, amen, whatever. Today is my day of deliverance. It's a jubilee. One more thing he said. Today is a day of healing. It's the children's bread. Hallelujah. Today is a day of healing. Brethren, I want you to reach out, to reach up, and lay hold. Hear the trumpet. The trumpet is sounding. The trumpet is a time proclaiming a time of jubilee. We don't have to die sick people. We don't have to be in bondage to sicknesses and diseases. Brethren, we have been given power over all, the power of the enemy. Reach out. Reach up and lay hold of that word, I am. Who do you think was speaking there? I understand the word that you shared a couple weeks back, Brother Mark, and you quoted, I believe it's Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. And he said, none of these diseases that are on the Egyptians will come upon you. See if you can find Exodus 15, verse 26. And he said, I want to see it here. I want to quote it. And he said, this is Exodus 15, verse 26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice, remember the voice is the trumpet sound. This is the trumpet sounding. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, it will do that which is right in thy sight, and will give ear to the commandments and keep all his statutes. Amen. If you walk Remember back in Galatians, he said, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the lusts of the flesh. If you walk and keep all my statutes, I will put none of these diseases, these sicknesses, these curses upon thee. Revelation 22 said there's no more curse. The curse is ended. It's a jubilee. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Who is this I am? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a prophetic word. This is Jesus Christ speaking through Moses, through Exodus, saying, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. Receive it, brethren. Believe it. I'm laying hands on those areas in my body that trouble me. I want my teeth back. I've had to have some teeth pulled. I want those teeth back in Jesus' name. Liberty, proclamation, jubilee. I'm prophesying now. I am not going to give in to the aging process, old age. We do not. I have. Brethren, listen. I have, you have, we have as the body of Christ, we have immortality right inside of us now. My God, Christ the immortal, living, walking, talking in a body, in a people. We have it, you have it, I have it. Immortality. I am not going to give in to the low energy. Oh, I feel tired today. I can't get up. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Oh, I can't do this. I can't get out of my chair. Come on. Brethren, I am. The I am, the kinsman, redeemer, who came and proclaimed, let me end with this. Go back to Luke chapter 4. Let me finish there. Luke chapter 4. And verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, who is speaking? This is Jesus the Christ. In what capacity, brethren, in what capacity is Jesus speaking to you and me, speaking to the church, the people of God? He's speaking as our kinsman redeemer. And what is he saying to us? It's a year of jubilee. It's a time of jubilee to the church. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus Christ, your kinsman redeemer. I am the I am, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal. Brethren, healing is not just the healing of our natural bodies. It's the healing of the mind. It's the healing of these bruises and scars upon our emotions. All of these wounds and bruises, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, I am healed. Amen. Not only just the healing of the body, but the healing of our soul. from all of those wounds. Amen. Come on, brethren. Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Jesus Christ, your kinsman redeemer. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance from those ancestral spirits. Amen. Those familiar spirits, those cultural spirits that trouble us, hinder us. He came to set the captives free. Liberty. Jubilee. Hallelujah. To heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recovery of sight to the blind, to open our eyes, to really see the kingdom of God, to set at liberty, brethren, underline that, circle it. It's Jubilee. It's a time of Jubilee, and our kinsman redeemer has come to set the captives free. I want to leave you with this word. Brethren, today is the day of salvation for your children, for your families. Today is the day of deliverance from all of the ites. I'm going to tell you one of the worst ites there ever was, the Castleites. Ah, hallelujah! I'm delivered. Hallelujah! All of those ancestral spirits, I'm delivered. Today is my day of deliverance. Today is my day of healing. I'm laying hold of my healing today. Today is my Jubilee. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Today, amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother Jim.